And the whole idea of this series is, how do I live my life in a way that has generational impact? You know, what are the habits that I need to practice in my life with God's help that will not only hopefully positively impact my life and maybe impact my immediate family's life, but hopefully what are the habits that I can put into place that will have a generational impact? And so we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit. And here in Luke chapter 16, we're going to find ourselves where Jesus is talking once again about money. In fact, I've titled sort of this, our conversation, Wealth Management. You know, most of you have heard me share this before, that Jesus talks more about money than he does heaven or hell. Y'all know that, right? It's interesting that Jesus, even, you know, and as we're going to read here, it says he tells his disciples a story. Why does God or Jesus talk so much about money? Well, I propose it's because God, our Heavenly Father, is a giver, and he wants us to be like him. And when we practice generosity, right, when we practice being other-focused, when we're good stewards of God's kingdom resources, there's a ripple effect, and in many cases, there's a generational impact. And so, if you know, for those of you, we've talked about this before, you know, the happiest people in life are not the takers, they're the givers. And the Bible teaches that the stinginess will negatively impact our lives, and even really those people in our relational world. And so here we find ourselves in Luke chapter 16, and Jesus, you're going to notice here, he's going to tell a story about an owner who hires a manager to steward his estate. And here in Luke chapter 16, in this story, what I want us to recognize from the very get-go is that God is the owner. You and I are the managers here in this story. And in this, there are three truths that Jesus wants you and me to consider as it relates to wealth management. So I'm going to start reading at verse 1. This is what we are told. Jesus told this story to his disciples. So he's got his 12 guys around. He's probably in an intimate setting. You know this is important to him because he's not just to the masses, but to his closest peeps. And this is what he says. He said, there was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, what's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you're going to be fired. Get your report in order because you are going to be fired. You know, if you read on in this story, you will read how this manager does, in fact, get fired. The owner obviously is calling him to be accountable for his actions, and in so doing, Jesus is emphasizing this first financial truth, point number one in your app notes, and that is that God wants me to optimize financial wealth with a management mentality. God wants you, he wants me, to optimize our financial wealth with a management mentality. Letter A, God is the owner. God is the owner. Letter B, wealth does not belong to me. Wealth does not belong to me. And letter C, I am God's trustee. I am God's trustee. God wants me to optimize financial wealth with a management mentality. God is the owner. Wealth does not belong to me. I am simply God's trustee. In Psalm 24, verse 1, let me give you some verses. We're told that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 50, verse 10, God says, every animal in the forest belongs to me, as so do the cattle on a thousand hills. In the book of Haggai, God declares, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12, King David declares, all riches and wealth come from you, O God. You rule everything by your strength and power, and you are able to make anyone great and small. Friends, here, Luke chapter 16, Jesus is telling a story to his disciples because he wants them to know, he wants you and me to know that God, our Heavenly Father, owns everything. It's God who bestows riches and wealth upon people. It's God who has the power to make anyone great and strong. Now, we certainly play a role in wealth attainment. You know, the choices that you and I make every single day certainly influences how much money that we have in the bank. But the starting point for all wealth management is to approach wealth with the understanding, the mental sort of understanding that God is the owner. Wealth does not belong to me. Personalize that. We are simply God's trustee. Okay, so skip down to verse 9. Luke 16, verse 9. Here's the lesson, Jesus continues. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Now write this down, point number two. God wants me to use financial wealth to benefit others. God wants me to use financial wealth to benefit others. This is a legacy truth. I know from watching many of you and from being in relationship with many of you that most of you are really good at using your financial wealth to benefit others. You know, the Bible declares that the generous will prosper. And so it doesn't surprise me that when I observe your lives, that many of you are experiencing this biblical truth firsthand. You know, in the Bible, we can read how King David wanted to build a church. He wanted to build a temple for God. And while God loved the idea of David, you know, building a temple, a place where the people could come and they could worship and they could, you know, honor God, God told David, no, you're not the guy to build my church. Do you remember why? It's because David, right, Joe, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, David was a warrior. God said, David, no, you've shed way too much blood on the battlefield. Therefore, you're not the guy to build the temple. I like the idea. I'm all in favor of it. David, it's not your job, though. However, here's what let's do. Here's the plan I propose. Let's have your son build it. And if you read 1 Chronicles chapter 22, you'll read this conversation that King David has with God, where God says, listen, I'm going to bestow upon your son, I'm going to give him peace among all his enemies. He's going to be at peace. I'm going to bestow him with kind of wisdom, if you will, to carry forth these blueprints that you want for and have created for this temple. And the end result will be a temple for the people. The end result will be a place to honor my name. And God says, I will secure Solomon's throne for a lifetime. To me, what that suggests is that generational, or the way that we deal with money, the way we deal with God's wealth, the things that we build, the things that we don't build, has a generational impact. In fact, if you read on in chapter 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14, as David is ready to pass sort of this leadership baton to his son Solomon, who then becomes the next king of Israel, David prays this. Listen to these words. He says, everything we have has come from you, O God, and we give you only what you first gave us. What's he acknowledging? David's recognizing here that God's the owner, right? That wealth doesn't belong to him, that he's simply a steward. He says, everything we have comes from you, O God, and we give you only what you first gave us. We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. He continues, he says, our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord, our God, David prays, even this material that we have gathered to build a temple to honor your name comes from you. It all belongs to you, he prays. It all belongs to you. Let me hear you say out loud the word all. All. It all belongs to God. Everything comes from him. It all belongs to him. We, brothers and sisters, are simply his managers. If you read on here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, you'll read how David then gives to his son Solomon, the Bible says, all of his private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction of the temple. What's the life lesson here? Friends, David understood the stewardship principle that Jesus is teaching, that God wants us to use our financial wealth to benefit others. I would imagine many of you, if particularly those of you who have grandkids, probably are thinking about your grandkids when it comes to your wealth management. I was in a conversation the other day with one of the guys I was riding motorcycles with, and this friend said to me, he said, you know, my mom has got a really nice, generous gift for this church that we were both used to be a part of, and it wasn't Palm Harvest Church, sadly. But even in that comment, he was referencing how his mom generationally was already thinking about, yeah, boys, you're going to get some of my money, but I'm also going to give some of my money to this church that has been such an instrumental part of my development. She was thinking generationally. God wants me, he wants you to use financial wealth to benefit others. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Friends, are you doing that? Am I doing that? You know, I propose that one of the hard things to learn in practice in life is what I call delayed gratification. Delayed gratification. It's to live one's life with this mentality, particularly when you're young, to pay now and play later, right? Pay my dues now so that I can play later. Not too long ago, I did this leadership lesson with David and Beto and staff, and it was called Everything I Need to Know by the Time I'm 40 Years Old. Because hopefully by the time you're 40, you've paid your dues, you've learned, you've sharpened your sword, so to speak, and you've worked and you've honed and you've sacrificed and you've said no to things so that when you get to 40, you can start to maximize upon those things and compound those things that you've learned up until that point. Delayed gratification, is that hard to do or easy? It's hard, isn't it? Especially when we live in an instant gratification world. You know, one of the reasons why credit card debt is so rampant. You know, personally, I think that one of the reasons why God instructs us to tithe, why God instructs us to give 10% of our income back to our local place of worship, it's because the habit of tithing is a tangible reminder that everything that I have, everything that we have, comes from God. God's the owner. Wealth does not belong to me. I am simply his manager, his trustee. See, God knows that if I can't give back to the owner a portion of what he has given to me, why should I expect him to give me more? That doesn't make any sense. My parents were really impressed upon me, as I shared a little bit last week, this truth. You know, if you have a, think about it, if you have a business and you have somebody at the till, you know, let's just take you at a local coffee shop and you've got one of your employees at the register taking, collecting people's money. If that employee is taking some of that money and sticking it in their pocket, as a business owner, you're not going to continue to put them in front of them. Register, you're going to either fire them or you're going to give them something else to do. You're going to stick them in the back room or somewhere where they can't steal stuff, right? That would be foolish. You have to give them some other job. And friends, I think God's no different. That's what he's teaching us here in Luke chapter 16. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 10. Luke 16, verse 10. Jesus says, if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now, would you write this down, point number three, in your app notes? God wants me to use financial wealth well, in small increments and big. God wants me, he wants you to use financial management well, financial wealth well, in small increments and in big. Friends, Jesus teaches us here that legacy wealth stewardship involves being faithful with the little things. You know, Hudson Taylor, a well-known missionary to China, once said, small things are small things, but faithfulness with a small thing is a big thing. You know, young people, let me talk to you for a second. Be faithful with the small things. Make your bed. Don't just put your dishes in the sink. Put them in the dishwasher or wash them. When your parents give you a curfew, obey it. For those of you who have a car, are you checking your oil? Are you checking the tire pressure? Or having somebody do that? Put your toys away, right? Be on time. If you break something, if you borrow something, if you break something and you break it, you fix it. If you borrow someone's car, make sure it's got more gas in it than you had when you picked it up. Turn off the lights when you leave the room. Brothers and sisters, be responsible with the little things. Give God 10%. Small things are small things. But faithfulness in a small thing, it's a big thing. And those everyday disciplines that we have with the small things, they add up and they create habits. And eventually, and God said, is telling us here, he's watching. So evaluate yourself. Brothers and sisters, are you a steward, a good steward of the little things? You need to be, and so must I, if we want God to entrust us with more. You know, in the business world, no person is advanced to a higher office until she or he has proven one's ability to be honest, right? And having at least capacity in a smaller position. I'm not going to give you more responsibility if you can't be good with the little responsibility I've given to you. You know, in the business world, I often tell young people, and maybe you do too, you got to pay your dues. Well, I deserve to be up here. Yeah, yes, it's true. But show me that you can do this first. Small things are small things, but faithfulness with a small thing is a big thing. Wealth management begins with the principle of being faithful with the little things. Friends, are you trustworthy with God's stuff? You know, Jesus here seems to suggest in verse 11, look at it in your Bible if you have it open, that when we get to heaven, now I don't really fully understand this, I'm telling you up front, but when we get to heaven, apparently God the Father, Jesus tells us here, is he's going to entrust us with some heavenly responsibilities. So when we get to heaven, we're going to have a job to do, apparently. Or jobs to do. We're going to have things that we're going to be responsible for. And part of his determination for what we receive will be based upon what or how we did here on this earth managing his stuff. Translation? Earth is a test run. This is just practice. So now's the time to make mistakes. Now's the time to hone your skills. Today's a new day. Today could be a new day for you, a new day for me to start over, to start anew. And so ponder this, okay? In your life, in your financial world, where is God inviting you to grow? Where's he calling you out? Where's God poking you to be faithful in the small things? And if you want some input, if you need some coaching on financial stuff, we've got great people in our on here at church. Lisa Banning, Rick Capco, two of our trustees are really great at providing coaching for help in growing financially. And this whole principle is God's the owner, right? All wealth doesn't belong to me. I am simply his trustee, his manager. So in closing, at the bottom of your app notes, there's three legacy questions that I invite you to think about and ponder today and in the days to come. Number one, personalize this. Do I view money as mine or God's? Do I view money as mine or God's? Number two, if God were to call me to give an account today for how I am managing his kingdom resources, would he keep me on the payroll or would he fire me? And number three, where is God inviting me or poking me to improve my generosity? You know, if you're not giving a Palm Harvest Church, I would encourage you to do so. But more than that, kids, let me again tell you, if you're getting an allowance, Joseph, Dorian, Melody, if you're getting an allowance, Hunter, Cole, you're a little bit older, but if you're getting an allowance, tithe on it. Start now. Start small. Develop those habits, right? You can do this. With God's help, we can all do this. You know, people say to me, often when I have conversations about this, and I don't know, maybe Jesus got the same question, is Pastor Mike, I can't afford to. I can't afford to. And I my response is always the same. You can't afford not to. If you want God to overwhelm you with responsibility, and maybe you don't want to be overwhelmed with responsibility, but it's just good business sense. Malachi, Jesus, or God says, test me in this and see if I won't throw open the floodgates. Our financial habits have generational impact. This is a legacy conversation. So let's close in prayer, everybody. Would you put your hands open? Put your heart open. Maybe close your eyes just to block everything out. This is between you and God. Would you just pray this in your heart? Would you say, thank you, God, for entrusting to me your kingdom resources. Thank you, God, for entrusting to me your kingdom resources. You know, I'm thinking about the car that I'm driving, the motorcycles that are in my garage, the home that I live in. Thank you, God, for entrusting to me your kingdom riches. Say, please forgive me when I hoard them. Please empower me to steward them better. And please increase my eagerness to give a tithe back to you. Because Jesus, I want to be a trustworthy money manager. I want to be generous. God, today, this is my legacy prayer. I pray it in your son Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. It's an invitation, right? It's a challenge every single day for us to be. So if you haven't made your bed today, go home and make your bed. If there's dishes that are dirty in the sink, wash them or stick them in the dishwasher. Simple things. Say thank you. It's a simple thing. Would you stand, please? Let me give you a final blessing. First and foremost, let's just throw up an arrow prayer for Rob's cough right now. He's got a cough. He's got a tickle in his throat. Lord, touch Rob. Brothers and sisters, as you go today, as you go out, be generous. Be generous with your encouragement. Be generous with your smiles. Press the flesh. Open doors for people. Let people merge in front of you. It's the little things. When people upset you, just go, you know what? Maybe they're having a bad day. When people do stuff that maybe, you know, frustrate you, just go, you know what? I'm sure I frustrate people too. Be generous. Be generous in the small things, because as you're generous in the small things, you'll develop the capacity to steward well God's kingdom resources. And many of you are doing that. So I bless you. I bless you with faith. I bless you with encouragement. I bless you with joy in the name of God, the Father, Jesus, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen and amen.